Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Well, we're focusing on the family on Sunday nights and just looking at different words that will encourage us, words that will challenge us in our relationships and our family. And I'd like for you to take your Bible and open it to the book of Psalms, to the 45th chapter of the book of Psalms. And we're going to start there, but I want to just review quickly. The words we've looked at is hope. Hope is promised in God's word. And then forgiveness. The great word of relationships is learn how to forgive. And then blessing, to give a blessing to your children and those that you have a jurisdiction over, that you can be an encouragement to them, a blessing to them. And then the word honor. Children are to honor their parents, honor their father and mother. And then truth. Everything is based on the truth of God's word. The importance of the church, the local church, to be a part of the church. The Lord uses the church to join hands with moms and dads and families to help children and help the family succeed spiritually. And then the word commitment was a word we looked at. We must count the cost. And then last week we looked at the word love. Have y'all ever seen this broadcast called Strange Inheritance? Anybody has seen it? Raise your hand if you're willing to admit it. Okay, a few people have seen it. It's just a show about how that some people end up inheriting things that are just very unusual. Some things they never thought were valuable that became very, very valuable. They've had all kinds of stuff on there. Well, I watched one that was amazing. There was a guy who was a Vietnam veteran, and while he was over there, he had not been wounded yet, but his buddies, some had been killed, many had been wounded, and every time he got his combat pay, he'd just send it home. And they'd put it away for him, and he was over there for a long, long time, and they would just put his combat pay away, and he always wanted a Corvette. He wanted a Corvette, the car, a Corvette. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, all right. Sometimes y'all just look at me on Sunday night like, you know, are you really here? But anyway, so when he got home back to the States from Vietnam, he went and bought a brand new 1967 Corvette. He was a single man, and he came back, he bought that 67 Corvette, and he put it in his garage. Well, then he fell in love, and he ended up getting married. They had 5 children. He never really drove the Corvette. He just left it in the garage. Well, one of his sons ended up with a Corvette, and at the time the man ended up living a long time, but then he finally passed away, and he left it to a son, and this son kept it for 25 more years in the garage. Now, this is original paint, original motor, everything, hardly any miles on this thing. So this guy had this car. Of course, they did a broadcast on it on this show, and finally the guy said, you know, I've got 3 kids, and you can't take a car and put it in thirds. And he was coming, you know, he was thinking, I need to do something. So he started looking in. He kept it up. He started looking into selling it. Well, the word got out, all the car collectors. And so they put it on that big auction that they do. Y'all ever bought a car on that big auction they do? I'm just kidding. But anyway, maybe somebody has here. But anyway, they put all those classic cars on there. And the interview that I saw, they asked the lady that hosts the show, they were doing a teaser on it. They said, to the host that was interviewing, how much do you think they got for that car? And he said, oh, I don't know, $100,000, $125,000. She said, $675,000 for that Corvette. I mean, it was like a number one. I heard about a 17-year-old server at a restaurant in Ohio. At Dink's Colonial Restaurant, she had a little section that the people would come in. Well, there was this elderly man who who lost his wife. He was a widower. He came in there, and she was just nice to him and kind of befriended this man, and he would come in and say, I want to be in her section. And so, you know, here's this 17-year-old girl and this elderly man, and he would ask, he would say, how are you doing? She said, well, I'm doing okay. I've got a test tomorrow and all this kind of stuff. He kind of took a little interest. So for about 14 months, she worked as a server at this restaurant. She finally had to quit to do other things, but she still called this fella. He would come in every day for lunch and supper to the same restaurant, and he'd always want to be in her section. Well, so she, if he ever was late, she'd call and say, you coming, Mr. Wood? And, no, I'm sorry, Mr. Bill, her name, her last name was Wood. Her name was Kara Wood. She was 17 years old. This happened in Chagrin, Ohio. Bill Cuxton was the man. Anyway, this man eventually passed away, and when they read the will, the man had no kids. He left this 17-year-old girl $500,000. You know, I want you to think tonight. Look at number one here. Before I even give you the word, I want you to think about number one. What comes to mind when you think of a heritage or a legacy? What is a legacy? A legacy is something that you're known for that you pass down to another generation. Can somebody in here, it's okay to talk in here, okay, a little bit. I don't want anybody hollering at me or anything. What kind of different legacies are there that could be passed down? Like I have heard, you know, of a, obviously there's a monetary legacy. There could be money that could be passed down. What are some other legacies? Somebody got any ideas? Say it again. Yeah, your reputation. That's right. And what are some of those qualities? I was thinking about this. I had a legacy of hard work. Can anybody raise your hand that your parents? Okay, I had a legacy of hard work. What other kind of legacy might there be? Okay, character. All right, very good. Good character, which I think hard work could do that. How about an occupational legacy? In other words, maybe there was a business in an occupation and that was passed down to the children. There's a lot of family farms where there are farmers and they grew up on the farm and they passed that legacy of work and occupation down to their children. Maybe there's a legacy of education. Maybe in your family or somebody you know. In other words, that was a big deal, and so therefore it's a big deal to the children because there's that kind of a legacy. Maybe there is a legacy of tough discipline. I get a couple chuckles out of that. You learn discipline when you were raised, okay? Sometimes there are legacies of hurt. I want you to think about, you know, what kind of a legacy? The word tonight is legacy, okay? So right there under tonight's lesson, that first blank, write the word legacy. Psalm 45, verse 16 and 17 says this, instead of your fathers shall be your sons, whom you shall make princes in all the earth. I will make your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, the people shall praise you forever and ever. What is it that you will be remembered for? You know, I think about this in my life. What is it my kids will remember about me? I hope some of these other things we've talked about I can do, hopefully. But you know, I think the most important kind of legacy we can leave is a spiritual legacy. And that's what I want us to talk about tonight. A spiritual legacy. So what comes to mind when you think of a heritage or a legacy? Let me ask you this, number two here. Your legacy, write that blank down, your legacy. a statement as to what was important to you. Is that true or false? Is your legacy, what you're known for, is that a statement? Is that a statement of what was important to you? True. Circle the T. I'm doing this test for y'all. Okay? I'm doing this test for y'all. So your legacy is a statement of what was important to you. In other words, what was important to you in your schedule, in your life, is really what your legacy is to those that love you. Now, we go to the scripture and we find out what ought to be a part of a spiritual legacy. So we're going to do kind of a little Bible drill here, and I'm going to ask Jamie and them at the computer to help me, because we're looking at so many scriptures here. So let's look at the scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, if you want to find that. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 says this: "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all of his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged." And so I want you to look at the same chapter, verses 5 through 7, Deuteronomy 6, 5. It says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up." And so you see there, number three, it should be one of obedience to the Word of God, and love. We are to love the Lord our God. I think if we could come to the end of our life, and those we influence, whether it is our physical children in our family, or the people that we minister to spiritually, that we have an impact on spiritually, and they could conclude that we love God with all of our heart and we're obedient to His Word, I think that would develop a pretty good legacy. And so the scripture challenges us in these ways, all right? Let's look at number four. In Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15, it says this, and you've got all your scriptures there, so if you don't get to them as quick as I can get to them on this screen, then you can always go back and look at them in your copy of God's Word. But Joshua 24:14 says this: "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord." Verse 15: "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." For many, many years we had a little plaque on our door. And I don't know why, how that thing, we need to get another one. But anyway, it said, "For me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Number four, he says we should fear the Lord. That's what the lesson there is. The scripture says we should fear the Lord. Have a reverence for God. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10. If you look at that, Proverbs 4:10. "Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life." Verse 14. "Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. turn away from it and pass on. So this Proverbs 4 passage is number 5 on your sheet. We should stay away from evil. That should be part of the legacy that we leave for our children and those we influence spiritually. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. We're moving quickly through this, y'all. 2 Timothy 1, 5 says this: "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith," and that's the key word, or sincere, okay? We should be genuine or sincere in our faith. He says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." Paul's talking to Timothy, and he's saying, you have a legacy of a sincere faith. That means it's the real deal. It's not phony. I asked a guy one time who, when I was younger, I asked him, his kids seemed to be following the Lord, and I said to him, I said, "What do you think is the number one quality that helps young people stay on track?" He said, if they have genuine parents who sincerely seek God. That's the number one quality that this fella told me. And the scripture says that. It says we should have a genuine faith. That's what Timothy had. He was blessed with grandparents. Can you imagine? And by the way, can I tell you, the older I get and the more grandkids I get, the more I preach that grandparents have a big impact. But can I tell you this? It's true. It's true. And if you have grandchildren, oh my goodness, the impact that you can have on those kids is absolutely amazing. But a sincere faith, number 6, all right? In 3 John, has one chapter. It only has one chapter. So 3 John chapter 1, verse 4, or some people would say 3 John 4, because there's only one chapter, and you go to the fourth verse, it says this: "I have no greater joy to hear that my children walk in truth." So take joy in transferring spiritual truth to your children. It is the greatest investment that you can make. And by the way, number 8 is very important as it relates to number 7. Because in 2 Timothy 2:2, the scripture says, "And the things you've heard of me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." The scripture is very clear that not only do we have physical children, but we have spiritual children. And we can leave spiritual children with a legacy. In that 3 John verse, "I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth," I think applies not only to our physical children, but it applies to our spiritual children as well. There's nothing in the world like it. So number 8 is we have spiritual children too. And there's a passage in Psalms there, but then Matthew 28 is the Great Commission. And that is to make disciples of all nations, of all people. And that's part of what we're to do in leaving a legacy. Are you a person that is leaving a legacy not only to your children, but in the lives of others? I was thinking about these precious kids up here singing. Oh my goodness. There's nothing excites me more than to see the light in their eyes, the brightness in their faces as they sing about Jesus. And as they use their talent and use their voices. And I so appreciate these leaders and all the time they put in to teach these children about the Lord. And because this is part of what you're doing as parents. You're creating a legacy in their lives of what it means to follow the Lord. So, number 9, I want you to consider the kind of legacy you are leaving right now. And here's some things to think about in these areas: love for God, love for people. Are we demonstrating that? By the way, I'm preaching to myself tonight, and I'm looking in the mirror as I am convicted over all of these. Love for God, love for people, sharing Christ with friends, associates, strangers, a heart for the world, moral values, lessons in finances, loving our children, our physical children, and our spiritual children that we are leading. I, just about 3 weeks from tomorrow ago, okay? Backwards, 3 weeks tomorrow. I think it was 3 weeks. We had Miss Ann's celebration right here. And I was sitting there, and the Lord let me give the gospel in that. We had several people indicate that they wanted to give their heart to the Lord that day. But I tell you what blessed me were the testimonies. I mean, the message wasn't that good. But I'm going to tell you, the testimonies blessed me. Because now we all, many of us knew Miss Ann real good. She wasn't perfect. She would be the first to raise her hand and say, "Pastor, I've made a lot of mistakes." But what hit me was a lifetime of trying to impact people for Jesus. And there were many who said, "I came to Christ because of your witness in my life." That's a spiritual legacy. Don and Linda, it's ironic you're here tonight, as these folks are heroes of mine. Any missionary that, and I know they don't want that attention, they don't want me to, but someone who has spent 3 decades on the foreign mission field, folks, I'm telling you, there's a message there for our lives. It's ironic you're here tonight, because I wanted to close out tonight talking about a man named John Patton and the legacy that he had that was passed down from his father. You know, I really am so thankful the Lord lets me do what I do in preaching and teaching. But, you know, I've got 5 children, and I got 3 grandchildren with another one on the way. And you know what I really, really desire is that those kids would love and honor Jesus, and that it would be true, not that they would just believe it, but it would be true that their dad was real. I read this as the service was beginning tonight, and I was reminded of it. I've looked at this many times, but it made me think about this, talking about legacy. John Patton was called. He was from Scotland. He was called to go on the mission field, and so he was going off to Glasgow to the Divinity School, and he had to walk from his town 40 miles to get on a train to go to Glasgow. And he said, "My dad is the one that walked me." He said, "Let me tell you," he wrote an autobiography 40 years after he had spent all of his life on the mission field. He said, "Let me tell you about my dad." He said, "My dad would get us down in the floor." He said, "He'd get us down in the floor on our knees." And he said, "He would pray with such fervency," he said, "calling out to God in tears for his children to love Jesus and for them to take the gospel to the world." And he said, I was so impacted my entire life by this man of prayer who was a very just an ordinary man in business, in their work there, and yet he was so passionate about Jesus Christ. And he said, "It so marked my life." And he said, "The day came when I gave my life to the Lord. I gave my life to go into missions, and the day came for me to go to seminary." And he said, "I had to walk that 40-mile walk," and he said, "My dad walked it with me." He said, "We hardly ever spoke." He said, "Tears were streaming down my dad's face." And he said he had beautiful golden hair, and he said he wore it, and you should hear Patton describe it. You ought to get this. John Piper's written all about it in his Desiring God message. And he talks about his dad had a hat, and he just carried the hat, and he said his hair was flowing in the wind, and we were just walking to that 40-mile walk. He said, we finally got to the place where we needed to part ways, and I go this way, and Dad would go back. He said, and so we stopped there. He said, the last mile and a half, we ever hardly said a word to one another. He said, we stopped there at the fork in the road, and my dad looked at me, took me by the hands, and here's what he said. He said, God bless you, my son. Your father's God prosper you and keep you from all evil. And then I'm just going to read what John Patton wrote about this. He said, unable to say more, his lips kept moving in silent prayer. In tears, we embraced and parted. I ran off as fast as I could, and when about to turn a corner in the road where he would lose sight of me, I looked back and saw him still standing with head uncovered where I'd left him, gazing after me. Waving my hat in adieu, I rounded the corner and out of sight in an instant. But my heart was too full and sore to carry me further, so I darted into a side of the road and wept for a time. Then rising up cautiously, I climbed the dike to see if he yet stood where I had left him, and just as that at that moment, I caught a glimpse of him climbing the dike and looking out for me. He did not see me, and after he gazed eagerly in my direction for a while, he got down, set his face toward home, and began to return. His head still uncovered, and his heart, I felt sure, still rising in prayers for me. I watched through blinding tears till his form faded from my gaze. And then, hastening on my way, I vowed deeply and oft, by the help of God, to live and act so as never to grieve or dishonor such a father and mother as he had given me. John Patton was a great missionary, but the hero in the story is John Patton's dad, who gave his son a legacy of a man who was a man of prayer, who loved the world, who loved God, and loved those he influenced. I'd like us to bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.